Yeah, no apostrophes at the beginning.
Yo, can you imagine? There, can you imagine that graphics engine that you're relying on them toots for in 2013? It's like real polygonal. We've come so far.
Oh man,
we were just
maybe a little bit rounder now. Everything's desperate. A little rounder, less sharp,
yep.
Less dangerous.
The HD, it's like, the resolution.
It's like watching a 90s football game now.
Like standard. We can't get fired. No one knows what we're talking about.
No one knows what we're talking about. But I do love when you stand on top of the truck and the only thing stopping you from exploding like 1,000 cars is the graphics engine. It's like, I thought I bought this game so I could absolutely destroy entire freeway at the time. Apparently, I can't.
It's a damn shame.
I'm Dominique. That's Pablo.
Hi.
And Goge looking cute down there. Ooh, the double piece is so cute. Can you not look cute if you go double piece up? Like, I feel like that immediately makes you look cute.
100%. There's no way to look like intimidating if you're walking. I would love to see a challenge at the Pro Bowl where you've got to have guys go up and try and talk bleep like this.
Once you put it up, it makes you cute.
What if that was the way to skate every taunting penalty in pro sports, where you just walked up to the officials like this and then said whatever you wanted to say?
But if you just do one, like that's the right, cheetah, Tyreek, then you get a flag. You got to go two, but then it's a fumble. All right, what are we talking about today?
Can we talk about how, like, this photo that you guys used to promote the show is just,
it's
like...
It's nothing to talk about.
It's just Dominique Foxworth propaganda.
Looking sexy.
It's just woo! Foxworth propaganda. Like,
woo! Them numbers are skyrocketing right now because people coming in to see the guns. I took off the sweatshirt just in case. Stick around. I might give you a little glimpse at the end of the show. No rush, though. Stick around.
This is going to be like the Billy Madison test questions going on where Dominique just strips as we get takes right on this show.
Look at Gojo.
I know. Let me zoom in on Gojo. Hold on. Here we go. Let me zoom in on Gojo.
Like, there. So, like, I'm attracting a specific... part of the population, but Gojo's going for an even smaller niche. Like, there is a niche out there that's really excited around there, looking
Gojo
for some alone time right now.
Precincts of the internet is like a K-pop star. Like, he's exactly what a lot of people have as their kink, specifically.
I mean, listen, if there's places out there where people are sexually attracted to balloons and people in animal costumes, then... One man basically wearing a candy jar has to have its own set of appeal.
Yeah, I guarantee you that somebody is worked up over that picture. Oh, man. Pablo, sorry.
For what? For trying to literally flex on us?
No, I think they would refer to me as bears.
Yeah, and bear. I was going to say, like...
I just don't know that there is a, like... It feels like me and Gojo's pictures are very sexy. And yours,
no, mine's
like, it's not.
Why am I so desexualized, guys, in this photo?
It's a problem.
Why am I a children's party magician?
It's like, a problem in American media that exists, that persists.
We could have used complicit. This photo.
There it is.
There we go. Yeah. Now. You are hot in the flag waving community. They are so excited about them Wranglers you got on.
Me and Brian Daboll both rolling up to work in a blue pickup truck.
Oh,
just like some dudes.
Very humble.
I like the fact that you and Gojo combined actually are Brian Daboll.
Fans of Brian Daboll in this photo.
Do you guys want to cosplay the Brian Flores lawsuit now, given that we all have people who can play roles in this?
No. We don't. No, absolutely not. That is not something that we want to do. I want you guys to still work here.
It's a good point. Alabaster.
All right. Moving on.
First there we go. Alabaster's Belichick sending the wrong text.
First question. Does Doug Peterson make sense for Trevor Lawrence and the Jags?
So it turns out Doug Peterson is going to be the head coach of the Jaguars. And part of the reason why it's not, say, you know, a little character in our little morality play called Byron Leftwich. Why it's not him is because Byron Leftwich had real objections to the fact that, this dude that everybody dressed up as a clown to try and oust is still the general manager, and I allegedly don't want to work for him. He did not want to work for Trent Baalke. And I cannot possibly fault him for making that specific demand. I believe Trent Baalke has gone through 4 coaches in 4 years at this point, but Trent Baalke apparently still has a lot of power in that organization. And so Doug Peterson arrives. And Doug Peterson, guys, I mostly know as the dude who pulled off, like, you know, the miracle upset of the Patriots. He seems respected. He seems like a guy that people like. I'm curious what actually this looks like to you, though.
Trevor Lawrence should demand a trade. that's where I'm going to end up. I'm just giving you the headline of this opinion piece that's forthcoming, but that is where I'm going to end up, is Trevor Lawrence should demand a trade.
Yes.
So
love it.
It's not about Doug Peterson specifically. He may be a phenomenal coach. Maybe he's not a phenomenal coach. I don't know. It's not about Trent Baalke as an individual or even Shad Khan as the owner or the city of Jacksonville, but it is about all of it together. Like, all of it together has birthed a situation that feels like it's going to really have a really hard time succeeding. And from what I understand, Byron Leftwich is not the only one who had an issue with the way that things are working down there and with the people that are working there. So you cannot get your number one choice, or presumably your top several choices, because you are wed to Trent Baalke, which I don't know how many touchdown passes he's thrown, how many blocks he's set, how many interceptions he's made, but it seems like if he can't do that, or how many game plans he's put together, if he can't do any of those things, even if, which I think he's not, even if he is the best talent evaluator and roster builder in the league, nothing quite compares to being able to do those more important things. So if that's the hang up, combine that with the fact that, like, people report that Shad Khan is not the most consistent owner. Like, it seems like a bad situation. And the only thing of value that any of us really care about in sports right now, or in football right now, is a young, talented quarterback. Get the hell out.
Yeah, it's probably where this is going to end up. Initially, I got to say, I was at least like, all right, Doug Peterson's kind of an adult. Like, we've seen Doug Peterson go and make something out of a situation in Philadelphia that was less than ideal during their Super Bowl run. He's worked with a GM in Howie Roseman that not a ton of people around Philadelphia, at least the fans that I talk to, are always that high on. So he's used to decision makers that he's got to maybe overcome at times. And so all this to say is, maybe you've got a guy that can walk in here and be somewhat of a meat shield for your young quarterback. That, or in a year, we're just going to be back having this conversation again as all of this burns down, which seems more than likely for all the reasons Dominique mentioned. But my initial reaction was, at least, all right, we have set a criminally low record for what this can look like and how bad it can go in Jacksonville with the Urban Meyer hire. This, at the very least, is an adult in the room in a position of power nearest the quarterback. And so for that much, I breathe a little bit of a sigh of relief. But to Dominique's point, we're not out of the woods on this stretch by any far. By any stretch, which for a quarterback this talented is terrifying.
I just have to
He had a meat shield. Like, that's it. That's what just was there, a meat shield. He doesn't need another meat shield. We just got rid of the meat shield that was there doing all the meaty things, which depending on which one of those meaty things you're talking about, it's a perfect terminology, to get in the way to allow your quarterback to develop. Now you need an actual well-run organization, which, like, this is not a criticism of Doug Peterson as an individual, but it does feel like that situation is bad. And we got some good quarterbacks, and we see what happens when you surround, we're looking at what's happening with the Bengals right now. Like, that's not like an ideal organization, but it seems like you have a reasonable, responsible coach. You have a front office that has made some good drafts and some good signings in free agency, and you got a great quarterback. You're in the Super Bowl. They're not going to do that in Jacksonville unless they replace those other parts.
Can you just imagine, though, what Trent Baalke must be like behind the scenes in terms of managing upwards? Because despite everything, right, him being public enemy number one, his number one skill clearly is how to talk to your boss. I can only imagine what he says to Shad Khan to reassure him that actually, just leave me in power, I can still make this work despite all of this evidence to the contrary.
I mean, it seems like a pretty good skill, but it also, to me, seems like a pretty easy job. I don't know Shad Khan's understanding of football, but if you have ever tried to explain the internet to your great-grandmother, like, she would think you were a genius.
Oh, wait.
So let's...
You think Trent Baalke's throwing out some real Spider 2 Y Banana lingo here? Do you think he's trying to mystify Shad Khan into being impressed just by sheer virtue of vocabulary?
Like, what else? How should you explain it? How hard is it? I'm assuming that Shad Khan is not deep into the X's and O's of football and doesn't understand the things to the level that Trent Baalke does, because he has not grown up and lived in football. Like, he's made his money elsewhere. He's entered football now. He may have learned a lot in the last couple of years, but he does not, or last several years, but he does not have the lifetime of expertise and experience. So if you drop me into one of my kids' classes, like any of them, I won't even take the kindergartner. I won't even take the third grader. You can put me in the fifth grader's class. I will dazzle those kids with football terminology. That don't mean that I should run a team. So, like, I don't know. It, to me, it feels like...
I appreciate that Dominique has basically tried to reverse engineer Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader, the show, and make it sound profound and unique. You know what? I don't need kindergartners or second graders right in fifth... Am I smarter than a fifth grader?
You see how I took you guys there? So I knew that that context worked. So I just walk it back and make it seem like my idea. That is what Trent Baalke
yes.
is doing.
Wow.
Trent
Baalke, there's the dismount.
Is looking around, reading articles, going to PFF and listening to podcasts,
he's
and then walking into the office and getting on Shad Khan's whiteboard and saying, this is all we got to do.
Can you
and then
imagine?
Shad Khan is like, ooh, cool. Go hire a coach for me.
Can you imagine if Trent Baalke's number one skill is just doing a bad Dan Orlovsky impression? Just like carrying around an iPad, pointing at stuff, talking about like Mike linebackers and stunts and blitzes and stuff, just like throwing all sorts of trash in his direction.
So like Pablo, you would never consider yourself like a deep football expert.
No.
But you've been around enough of us to know enough that if I put you in a room with someone who does not know much about football, you could draw enough, say enough terminology to like walk out with that person like, man, that guy's a football guy. Like, it can't be that hard. And no disrespect to Shad Khan, but I'm saying that Trent Baalke is like that times 12.
Oh, I'm talking about all sorts of gaps. A gaps, B gaps, C gaps, D gaps, J gaps. I'm inventing J gaps. Which,
oh,
by the way,
that
again.
Guy. That guy is a football guy.
Speaking of the gap.
Is that where you got those jeans?
I don't want to put that on them. I will say though, speaking of how much Trent Baalke thinks he knows, did you guys see now? These aren't reports. I want to make it abundantly clear that this was like rumors and, you know, like hearsay,
I mean,
internet. But like,
no, Joe, I'm sorry to cut you off, but if anybody is clipping anything from this show,
it's a fair point.
And being like, hey, reports, like, come on. We kicked
I mean,
this off
last
with some nonsense
week,
in my sexy muscles.
We literally tried to say that Jimmy Garoppolo should be murdered. And I feel like we're operating in a sphere of total diplomatic immunity, Gojo. Yeah. Say whatever the hell you want.
All right, so we're in the international waters of the internet. So, yeah, there was this rumor floating around the Senior Bowl that apparently Trent Baalke was looking into hiring an associate GM of some sports to handle more of those duties so he could spend more time around the players and the team. So he could be closer to the players that he is ready to influence with his football greatness. So that is the kind of tone and tenor out there being talked about the guy who is successfully, and I feel like now that we've got two, we can make it a verb. He is Easter being the Jaguars. That's what this is. That's the blueprint.
A multi-directional guru who just is sitting back at home doing nothing while people above and below him are all doing his job for him is the dream,
that is like,
honestly.
We are giving, while we're being critical in some ways, we're giving Trent Baalke a tremendous amount of respect.
Yes.
Because as I have like gotten older and gotten more experience, like when you're young, you look at the world as like either a meritocracy or like hard work. And you're like, man, you know who's the best at things? You know who's the richest? You know who's the most successful? It's the smartest ones. It's the hardest working ones, because we read fairy tales and believe the movies that are like marketed to us. And then you become an adult and you live in this world and you recognize that actually like the interpersonal social skills, so much more valuable. Like, you can get people to invest in your company based on the fact that you look a certain way, you talk a certain way, you behave a certain way. That will get you much further than if you are just like a sheer genius. And it's sad, but it's true.
Ja Rule and some random white guy got a whole bunch of white teens to show up to an island for a music festival.
I love the idea that Trent Baalke is now Elizabeth Holmes. He just dresses yeah. in that black turtleneck, sells fake blood therapeutic technology.
Yeah. Just has no an artificially check. Deep voice.
Oh my hey, God.
I'm Trent. I know football.
Hi, I'm Trent. Also, you may know me from the time that I impressed you like Steve Jobs. I'm Steve Jobs.
He I'm walks into every meeting. Name. Walks into every meeting with his hands like this.
Ooh, yeah. Oh, another key to succeeding in business, Dominique, I assume they taught you this at HBS, is the power pose of hands while at a table.
It makes you, I mean, that in the no point point, like it makes you feel, ooh, it makes yes. you look thoughtful.
What
like
is, the classic, is.
The Bill Clinton,
yep.
the Bill Clinton.
As yeah. does referring to Harvard Business School as HBS.
Oh, acronyms, good call. Acronyms.
Sorry.
You could acronym something.
By the way.
That confuses people while also making you seem like you're on some insight that they're not in. They're too afraid to ask. That's my new move from here on out. I'm acronyming out the yin yang.
I did not have contractual relations with that quarterback.
I was at HBS
laughing at
going over joke. His DVOA, trying to figure out if he could work in the NFL. I am ready.
Well done. I mean, BHM is so much fun right now because of all of the BS that takes place in WC.
And the IBS, Alabaster. You know what that is.
Work on it. You can get it after the show. Go, Joe. Just write it down. You'll figure it out. You know, you know,
there, Pablo.
Knowing me, you probably already know where it was headed. Yes. So you yes. can guess.
Yes. You can guess.
Yeah. It was about black people. It was about racism, guys. A.K.A. my wheelhouse.
Wait. Let's do it one more time. 3, 2, 1. It's about racism, guys.
Now that's going to be the picture they use.
I just want the audience to know we've quadrupled our audience in the last 4 months. So whatever is happening here.
Ooh, yeah.
Why are you telling them?
Because
now, that's how you know important. That you're not confident in what you're putting out is because you just felt like it went poorly. So you're like, hey guys, I know you might think this is garbage, but a lot of people like it.
I like the idea of ESPN PR putting out one of those notes that says this show's ratings have quadrupled and it's the three of us like this.
No, not this. I didn't put on any makeup today because I was feeling quite lazy. I had a lot of reading to do, so I'm very shiny today. So let's find a different picture.
Still
maybe
handsome.
The one of my sexy arms. Next topic.
Raven, next topic? Okay.
Yeah,
I guess.
Super Bowl is about a little over a week away, and our question is, which quarterback do you trust more in the Super Bowl, Joe Burrow or Matthew Stafford?
Nice. Those tats, man.
I know. That's Gojo, can we talk about your tats, Gojo? How many do you got? Can you give us a quick tour of your body?
Joe Burrow, go ahead. Yeah. Go to Tat Tour. I just wanted to answer the question because I respect Alabaster.
I can do that while.
Oh yeah,
we
me too,
this.
Joe
what
Burrow.
Was,
yeah.
What was the question about Joe Burrow again?
Who do you trust
who do we
more?
Trust more? You know what? Like weirdly, that's in nice. This situation, given the weapons and like speaking of weapons, tattoos. These right here. Oh my God! I also have like a really regrettable one on my chest.
Oh,
which is sort of weird.
Nice.
It looks great.
What did that say?
Great. It looks great. So like this is the tough part about having tattoos that Joe Burrow will never know because he's busy leading a naked skinned life and leading this team. This is aimless. This is absolutely aimless. But no, I have a tat. It's Latin and it says "Don't let the bastards get you down." And like, what a lame thing to have to explain to people. Like, this is why we should let 18 to 22 year olds get tattoos in a college football locker room. Because you inevitably come up with the worst ideas. I have three languages on my body. Only one of
Gojo.
Which are English. I have a watch that says...
How many I have languages a watch do you speak?
That says now. The time says now on this watch. And this is the best tattoo art that I have. It says now. Right
Gojo.
Here. Or on the other side, it says Monday. Either
wow.
way, sucks.
Gojo, I just want to be very clear about this. All the acronyms Dominique just mentioned just put you on a watch list, literally and figuratively,
yes.
Given your most recent tattoo. But I cannot believe we got to February 4th without asking you these questions.
Oh, that's, my gosh. I personally love the Gojo. The problem with you is that you are constantly learning and evolving and maturing. So no one can get tattoos and also do that. Like, if you do those, then inevitably you're going to be like upset with something that you did at some point. Because I agree, if someone, if I had the gall to go get a tattoo when I was 18, I 100% would be ashamed of it right now. That's why you keep getting more tattoos to dilute the bad tattoos that you've gotten in the past. Well done, sir.
100% the only rule, kids, if you're thinking about getting tattooed, just make them look good. Your value systems are going to change so much over the course of time. I have faith in family in Old English written on my arm. Like, that is in any way original.
And like the malt liquor font?
I paid $15 for these at a shady place in South Bend. They look terrible. Oh, don't do this.
$15.
I once saw an episode of, you guys ever seen Tattoo Nightmares, by the way? It's an awesome show. I don't know if it's still on, but I once saw someone took.
It's a classic.
Thank you, Alabaster. They took a like tribal lower back tattoo in one episode, and they made it into a haunted house, like an actual Halloween haunted house. It was I don't care if it's an upgrade. It was just a matter of artistic creativity that I did not see coming.
Yeah, I mean, was this person a part of a particular tribe?
Yeah, yeah. I think they were like a 1%er or a 2%er.
I mean, 2%? I don't know. Can you?
3%.
The general term tribal tattoos, like, I feel like I'd rather have a tribal tattoo than a haunted house if it was like connected to some tribe that I felt like I was a part of. But I guess if I didn't feel like I was a part of that tribe, haunted house me, baby.
The tribe is Monster Energy drinking white nails. That is the tribe that's out here getting tribal tattoos.
Oh, yeah. Question. Matt Stafford or Joe Burrow, who do you trust more? I trust the kid, and I think we all do.
Yeah. I mean, look, so you called this A-list.
We saw it.
Oh, you guys make that card that quickly. Wow. That's just impressive technology.
It's 2022. It's a printer. What do you mean?
I'm impressed, too.
I'm impressed by quick printed things.
Yeah, my printer. Like I watched a TikTok
of an automated label maker, and I was like, whoa.
I think that our guy Alabaster produces the show from a Kinko's. Like, he is out and he's in the front with his camera and stuff and putting up his cards, and he's got like an army behind him of Are there still Kinko's anymore?
No Kinko shaming. Guys. Come on,
man, don't judge my Kinko's.
So aimless, you call this conversation, Alabaster? I disagree.
Kinko's.
Because you know who's not aimless? Oh, Joe Burrow, the guy who led the NFL in completion percentage.
I have so many bad Kinko's jokes in my head right now. Go ahead.
No, that's all I had.
Is it weird that I do, like, actually kind of, like, these trust questions are always weird because is it team agnostic? Like, am I just popping one of these guys into a spot and saying, go do the thing? Because, like, surrounded by the rest of his team, I could be talked into trusting Matthew Stafford more.
Yeah, the question, it's how you interpret the question. I interpret the question as these guys in isolation. If we had two even teams and I could pick one of them to be my quarterback, I'm picking Joe Burrow. And again, the question is weird in that we just watched last week both of them win and both of them try to lose. So they both threw late game easy interceptions that were dropped by defenders that would have cost them the game. And no one talks about the Joe Burrow one for whatever reason.
But we've already decided.
Yeah,
we've already decided.
All revel in the fact that Matt Stafford threw a prayer to the middle of the field that I guess was answered, but was pretty ugly. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I would go with Joe Burrow probably because he has a smaller sample size. And in his small sample size, going back to college, he's been incredible. Matt Stafford has a bigger sample size that includes some incredible and a lot of not incredible.
Interceptions, yeah.
Yeah,
Is it safe to say that Joe Burrow did what Matthew Stafford couldn't? Because, like, being plopped into Detroit and Cincinnati in the form that he came into, very similar things. And, like, we always talk about
– good take. Like,
Matthew Stafford had Megatron there for a whole bunch of years. There were not insignificant pieces in that spot. So Joe Burrow was technically able to lift up his team.
He got sacked nine times. He got sacked nine times against the Titans.
We already established this. He's the 50 Cent of the NFL.
That's right.
I saw it. That was a great take by you, by the way, Dominic. I was watching that day. I was like, man, he did good.
I would like to take a minute to revel in the greatness of your take. I don't care whether it's true or false, but you just laid out a sweet take right there that is going to grow and people are going to love it. I love it.
So the Stafford thing, right? Like the reasons that we can clown on him with this level of impunity, like they are based in fact, right? The guy does lead the league in interceptions. He does lead the league in pick sixes. He does have a resume that we're now trying to retcon into sort of like something that it isn't, which is that actually he wasn't really at fault in Detroit. When, again, I think Joe Burrow is a pretty good counterfactual, Gojo. I think this is a real take.
Which is weird because intangible-wise, like, that's also been something that people lauded Stafford for. Like, we run that highlight of him, like, popping out his shoulder and going back into the game. You hear from all his former teammates about him being a gritty, beer-drinking, like, go out there and do all the gunslinger. Like, he does all the stuff that we like there. It just, for some reason, did not take the way it has with Joe Burrow, where he has come in and swagged out an organization that does not want to spend money and for a long time appeared to have no real vested interest in actual winning beyond the point where it was profitable.
Hold on. I think you just led me, you walked me up to the doorstep of another take, of an interesting take.
I love a doorstep.
Matt Stafford, clearly you brought up the beer chugging. That is an intangible that is valuable to, let's say, the offensive line community. You brought up the shoulder popping. That's another intangible that fits in with that community. Like, Matt Stafford's out here doing some hunting and whatnot. It's been quite clear that Joey B, he can cross over. Joey B, he can talk to the receivers, the corners, and the centers. Joey B's intangible ability is multi-positional, shall we say.
Joey B, like, he knows some acronyms, Joey B does.
Joey B knows all the acronyms. He knows all the songs, too.
Never forget Joey B's code-switching pictures after they won the division. Oh,
Joey B knows all the codes. All the codes. Man.
Dominique.
Yo.
Did you just explain Cooper Kupp season?
Oh, wow.
Intentionally, of course.
He was ready. The time is always now for a racially based wide receiver.
What? I'm talking about positions. We're talking positions. Receivers, corners, O-line, centers, you know, positions, not race.
That's another Trent Baalke move, by the way, just listing positions to Shad Khan until he sort of gets confused.
Oh, yeah. You got to use the obscure ones. Like, yeah, he's a robber back, that type of stuff that he's never heard before or potentially has never heard before. And then you use lots of numbers. It's like, gunner. Yeah, in certain situations, I want to go 5-2, but normally the conventional wisdom is you go 4-3 or 3-4 on passing downs, but I like to go 5-2 because it forces the hand of the offense. It narrows down the perspective that they have, which allows your defense to lean in one direction or the other, which gives us a distinct advantage. A lot of people aren't doing that. I said nothing, but you think it was something. Like, none of that meant anything.
You know what I'm also doing? I'm just pressing play on a video that someone else already taped of just a bunch of, like, spotlights and arrows and stuff. Like, I'm just fake telestrating.
Yeah.
I'm going to have my intern make that for me. I'm just going to wildly gesticulate while it's happening as if I know.
You're like every festival DJ, but if he became a football coach. I hit play, and then I do all this wild stuff.
That's incredible.
Simulated pressure. Outside zone.
Go, bow, go, bow, go, bow, go. Bow.
Four verts, four verts, whoa, four verts, four verts, four verts, four verts, four verts, four verts. Hit him underneath. Hit him underneath.
QB sneak. QB sneak. Let's go. Let's go.
That was the beat dropping. That was the debatable beat dropping.
I mean,
everybody make some noise.
I had no idea how we were going to get out of that, so thank you, music. What's next?
What is next?
I was just going to do that for the rest of the show, honestly.
I could have done that for like 30 minutes.
I have
minutes.
No dismount.
That was wonderful. All right.
To why banana? Oh, don't get it started again.
Our last headline. Could you see Aaron Rodgers on the Titans next year?
So we go to whose sources are these? Someone on the internet sources, basically. Okay, here we go. Jared Stillman of 102.5 The Game. Apologies, Jared Stillman of 102.5 The Game. He says that Aaron Rodgers is building a home in Nashville and would be, quote, open, end quote, to joining the Titans. And I got to say, if you are Aaron Rodgers and you feel like you've been entombed in a cancel culture casket, and you also kind of still want to live in a major city, Nashville's kind of your number one draft pick, just on that level alone. And then I guess there's football stuff, but that culturally does feel like a fit to me.
I've been to Nashville, and Nashville is one of those cities that it's really, really great to visit. I don't know what it's like to live in Nashville, but I'm also not Aaron Rodgers. I feel like Aaron Rodgers' cultural fit fits everywhere when he can throw that ball the way that he throws it. As upset as many liberals are towards Aaron Rodgers, if Aaron Rodgers landed in San Francisco tomorrow, they would treat him like a god. Like, and I guess San Francisco is a bad example because that is – one of the cities that is so liberal that many of them also don't believe in vaccines and masks and things of that nature.
Counterpoint, Nick Bosa.
Nick Bosa balling out there.
Absolutely balling.
Yeah. I mean, Seattle, put him anywhere. You put that arm anywhere and people suddenly are able to separate the art from the artist real quick. Oh, we lost Gojo. Man down.
Oh.
He went to go get a tattoo.
Gojo. Yeah, wow.
I do think that I don't know why he would, if he's, the argument for him to go to a team is always around like the roster, and then people make these arguments about the division, how that matters. So like, I think we all accept that the best situation roster wise is Denver. They hired Nathaniel Hackett, his offensive coordinator. They have a good offensive line, one of the best receiving corps in football, and a pretty loaded defense that played pretty well this season and had some success considering that they never really had a franchise quarterback. So I think we all accept that is the best place for him to go until people throw into the argument that you have to then be in the division with Patrick Mahomes and I guess also with Justin Herbert. So I could understand that maybe you want to go to Tennessee because the divisional competition is not nearly as impressive or challenging. So that could be the argument for that. But if you're going to find an easier path, you got to go to the NFC. Like that would be my
idea.
It's like either go to the Broncos or go to the NFC.
I mean, dude, if you have like a path that you want to clear, the easiest path available, you kind of stay in the NFC North, dude. It's like, why are you going anywhere? Like, you're facing the Bears and the Lions and the Vikings.
So where in the NFC North?
Green Bay!
Yeah, well, the Green Bay roster situation, from what I understand, is it's given their unique ownership structure, it's going to be really hard for them to maintain this roster going forward. So I thought you were going to say go take Kirk Cousins' spot because you got some good receivers over there. Do the old Brett Favre. did Brett go? He went to New York first, right?
Yeah, no. He did.
Oh, he went to the Jets first.
He did Minnesota
before the Vikings?
By way of New York.
Yeah, right. So,
okay. Dominique, I have a cap question for you about whether or not this makes sense for the Titans. And that is that Ryan Tannehill has a $38.6 million cap hit, but there is a $57.4 million dead cap hit if Tennessee releases him, or a $28.4 million dead cap hit if he gets traded. Does this make sense? Because he would ostensibly want to go to Tennessee for a good roster, but that would decimate their ability to have a good roster.
Well, quick interjection. Is this where we suggest that we should also murder Ryan Tannehill?
Please stop with that. We're not going to kill anyone. Can we?
Someone eventually is going to take us seriously, and the feds are going to beat down Pablo's door in the middle of the
please,
show.
Please do. Don't come to my house. I don't want anyone to be killed, except for the bad people. The people that you guys think are bad. I'm with you on that one. Get them out of here.
Yeah, their time is now or Monday, depending on your angle.
That's the best part. It's like reversible.
It is. It's like a reversible jacket, but on my body forever in really expensive ink.
Oh, my gosh. I like that after you end a meeting and they're like, hey, when are we going to convene again? You're like, now. Actually?
What do you
Monday.
Want? Monday. I got two options, guys, all right? Which one are you looking for here?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that roster has holes in it, too, in a way that the Broncos do not. They have one really good receiver that's at the peak of his ability and another really good receiver that seems to be obviously in the decline, a good offensive line, a great running back. So it's not a bad situation. Anywhere Aaron Rodgers goes immediately becomes a Super Bowl contender. But
if I've missed this, as you guys have talked about this, let me know, or if there's something unrealistic, but like Canty brought this up the other day. Aren't the Colts involved in this conversation?
Yeah.
You've got so much cap space. You've got a great offensive line and an awesome defense. You could bring Davante Adams over, I would say, pretty easily, given the amount of cap flexibility they've got at that spot. And you've got tons of incentive. Like, your owner came out the other day and was like, yeah, it's pretty clear you need an offense that can score 30-plus and a defense that can hold them, which seemed to say, yeah, we probably don't trust the guy that we brought over here to do that. So, like, Chris has brought that up, and I haven't been able to come up with a good rebuttal as to why the Colts shouldn't be players in this.
That's a great point.
I got it, because he would look weird in that uniform.
That is true. Like, that was the biggest thing for Stafford. He looks way cooler in L.A.
And I think that, like, Peyton Manning fit that uniform. Andrew Luck fit that uniform. Imagine, like, Aaron Rodgers with his long hair and, like, doesn't it look weird? Like, I could see him in a Titans uniform.
I don't like it.
I could see him in a 49ers uniform. I could see him in a Broncos uniform. I have trouble, and I don't understand why, but I have trouble seeing him in that uniform. Case closed.
Can one of the internet people listening to this show do a jersey edit? Because I haven't seen an Aaron Rodgers Colts jersey edit, and I want to just have to take that in.
I've seen it. I've seen it in my head. It's ugly. It doesn't look right. Oh. It doesn't work for him.
Yeah, I'm Google imaging this.
Like, the amount of jersey edits we do. Dominic, you're so right. It
looks
terrible.
Hold on, we got one. We got one. Hold on.
Oh, nice job. You did that fast. Do you live in a Kinko's? No.
More of a Staples guy. Does Staples still exist?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Look at this. Are. This is just wrong.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah, God. Ooh. He just really doesn't wear, like, the blue well at all.
Yeah, it must be that. I don't know.
Oh,
God. He's more of a red guy these days.
Slow clap. Slow clap them into a speed clap.
Wow.
I don't know. I think we might have milked this topic. Is there anything else?
Yeah.
Left?
Yeah. He's probably not going to the Titans.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to move on. Let's play a game, guys. And we're going to play a round of What Are the Chances? The segment where we'll show you a clip, and then you guys prognosticate and tell us the chances. First one. What are the chances Russell Westbrook played worse defense than Austin Reeves on Reggie Jackson's game winner?
So here we are watching this. Oh, you're the defense. Oh, boy. Jackson,
spin up and oh, man. Oh, wait. God.
The skipping is insulting.
It is.
And then, was that Alabaster? Explain for the podcast audience what we saw at the rim there. Because was it just Russell Westbrook just kind of what? What was he doing there?
Austin Reeves was the primary defender on Reggie Jackson. He forced Reggie Jackson into the corner and guarded the baseline. Russell Westbrook came over for a hard trap, but instead of trapping Reggie Jackson in the corner with 5 seconds left, he went behind him to try and steal the ball, leaving a wide open lane for Reggie Jackson game-winning layup because Anthony Davis had to cover the man that Russell Westbrook left to not actually trap Reggie Jackson.
What are the chances they're bad? You play worse? No, they're high. 100%. There was really bad defense right there. I don't know. I'm tired of Russell Westbrook slander. Not because he doesn't deserve it, but ever since the trade happened, prior to the trade, like, we just kill Russ. And
I don't know.
It just feels that play right there deserves it. But I mean, I guess he always deserves it. But it just makes me tired.
Well, it just makes me sad. It's like it's like watching like your, I don't know, like the example I always use is like I'd have to imagine this is what it would be like watching your dad get his ass kicked publicly. Like, I've never seen my dad get his ass kicked publicly, but I would imagine, like, you know, you spend your whole life lionizing this person for what they've been able to do and what they represent, and then you watch him just go absolutely get washed in front of company or in public. That, like, that's kind of what's happened to Russ.
That was the first text that my brother sent me after after Nate Robinson got knocked out.
Oh,
my brother sent me a text immediately. He's like, he got kids. They got to go to school tomorrow. He didn't have to tell me anything else. He didn't have to tell, like, we weren't watching it together. He didn't have to ask me if I was watching it. Like, that was the text that he sent. It's like, he got kids. They got to go to school tomorrow. And I don't remember their ages, but it was an age where I wouldn't want to go to school tomorrow. And that's just a bad situation.
Man, these kids have had the internet for a long time. Any age past 5 is probably one where you don't want to go to school with your classmates armed with internet currency.
Well, because at that point, if you're Nate Robinson or a member of Nate Robinson's family, your perspective as to how your life can possibly improve is my perspective when it comes to, like, what I hope happens when we all get hacked. It's just sort of like, I just hope that everyone else gets humiliated also. I'm just rooting for everyone else to look as bad, if not worse, at some point. And he turns you into, yeah, like, that's a supervillain origin story. And I do feel like Russell Westbrook, by the way, his villainy is a result of all of the people watching basketball kind of having this idea. And that is a very supervillainy balaclava that we're now showing on the screen. Also,
did he? You think he knew that himself?
Very high thread count. It's cool, actually. There's like a blue and yellow kind of.
I mean, let's turn this. I like that. Let's spin this to positive about Russell. Everything he does is kind of cool. Like, even the weird stuff is kind of cool. The things on the court, less cool.
Remember that time he got hit in the face and there's a dent? Like, that's not cool.
Yeah. But
the dent stayed there and it looked like he was part machine, and that was cool.
Yeah. It's nothing he can do that's not cool. And I think that, along with his poor play, is the reason why people are so hard on him, because we're all jealous of how cool he is.
It's like you're using Michael Vick wrong in Madden. It's just like, this could be a lot better. You're not doing the thing you could be doing.
All you gotta do is hold down turbo. That's it.
Like, remember when he was like dressed up like a traffic cone, and he came to a game like a street paver or something? It was like, originally, you could put anybody's head on that and it wouldn't work. But you put Russell in there, you're like, hey, man, it's something. High fashion.
No one has looked better wearing a vest without a shirt underneath than Russell Westbrook.
I think no one has looked better than Russell Westbrook. You can put anything there. It's like, no one has looked better shooting jump shots over the top of a backboard than Russell Westbrook. No one has looked better playing poor defense than Russell Westbrook. No one's looked better dressed in any myriad ridiculous outfits than Russell Westbrook. He just, like, he's a cool guy. Like, remember he's singing Taylor Swift? Like, what could you, at a time when, like, it seemed like there was nothing more murderous to your cool guy, super athlete, street cred than singing Taylor Swift. But he's so damn cool. He's like, hey, kind of cool. I mean,
I do like how we are watching. We are watching the Los Angeles Lakers, parentheses, Russell's version.
Oh, man. And no, listen, Pablo, I respect that reference here.
Thank you.
A lot of people won't respect that reference.
I don't get it.
I respect that reference.
Snyder cut? What are we talking about? I don't know.
Taylor re-recorded all of her albums because of existing...
She
reclaimed her power.
Yeah, she reclaimed ownership of the masters for her songs.
I'm sorry, Pablo. There's a lot of people... Like, sometimes I make jokes that don't land here, but I know that 13% of people that are watching our show appreciate it. I feel like you just did that to me, and I'm sorry that I didn't get you to laugh, because I was still waiting for the joke, but I didn't get it.
Gojo, do we put Dominique on white probation now? Because I've been put on I can't talk about black people stuff.
No, you can talk about black people stuff. You just, like,
well,
you
couldn't, but now I can because my probation ended.
You cannot traffic in the comedy. Never mind. You're back.
I'll say this. There are too many people that look like me that try and make those decisions for people that look like Dominique in real life.
Yeah.
So I am Pablo not going to bring that to this show.
Good job.
I'm gonna catch that and instead pivot and ask, do we think that Russell Westbrook could beat Nate Robinson in a fight?
That was some Westbrookian athleticism by you right there, by the way. Just mental.
Hey, Gojo, should we put this black guy in jail for a little bit? What do you think?
Oh, my gosh. Puts you in a bad spot. Yeah.
Can we go on to the next topic?
Yeah,
maybe Pablo
the
not talk during this one.
The only person more uncomfortable than me is Alabaster.
Pablo and Mike here?
Oh, Mike, you're the man. I love you. Thanks for catching that.
All right,
Pablo. Community.
All right, Pablo. Dominique and Gojo.
One more strike, buddy.
Dominique and Gojo, fair. Next topic.
Pablo thinks probation. He can say whatever he can do.
What are the chances that Micah Parsons is actually the fastest player in the NFL. And we have a video from the Pro Zero. Bowl skills competition.
Zero.
That's Tyreek Hill at the end of the video.
Zero.
Micah Parsons, for the podcast audience, is the only guy not wearing a shirt. Which is
he's the only
move.
Guy that looks like he cares, which is the part of this that sucks, is the best part, and I'm with Dominique, there's 0%. The best part, and I say this as someone who looks up to people with marquee athleticism, not someone who's ever had it at any level, the cool part about being a great athlete is when you don't have to seem like you care at all.
Yeah.
And I am someone that had to train for 4 months leading up to my pro day to go and run a hand-timed 5.38. It was hard, and it looked hard. And that is not cool. And so Micah Parsons having to – what the hell? How did you have that so ready?
Wow.
See, they're in the Kinkos.
The Kinkos has reported – our Kinkos correspondent has reported that the 40-yard dash
That's wrong,
times,
by the way. That
so Micah Parsons, 4.39.
Mine is
Gojo, 5.38. Dominique Foxworth, 4.39.
That's not true. It's false.
Hold on.
You mean it's a bad Googling.
Let me find my secondary source, which is the Dominique Foxworth rookie card I have at my desk at all times.
I'm faster than that. I'm faster than that by several hundredths of a second. So it's fine. You can have it. Micah Parsons is decidedly a better football player. But if we go back in time and we race, I would cook him. Plain and simple.
Yeah, I too would cook him, for the record there.
I would cook him
minus 1%
at my apartment that we would probably have paid for with stuff from his contract because I didn't make a lot of money doing football.
Clearly, he would not have eaten it because the way his body looks, I don't think that you and Mike are eating the same things. No, I mean, just saying.
I mean, maybe now, but not then. I gained a lot of bad weight during my last offseason in New Orleans.
How much did you
was that New Orleans, by the way? Do you blame New Orleans for that?
I blame my lack of self-control in New Orleans because of the things that it offers.
Terrifying. Micah is terrifying.
Oh my god, he's
very scary. I mean, I'm sorry, Alabaster. That was a good joke. It just the way that you delivered it just didn't come off well. For everyone who doesn't know, one time I tweeted after Micah Parsons did like a bunch of things in a row, Micah Parsons is terrifying. And then I got mocked. Because what kind of tweet is that? Is Magic Johnson-esque levels of insight, which I cop to. So that was a good joke. It just poorly delivered. Better luck next time.
That's a great joke for the podcast audience.
I mean, it's for everybody because even the people who are watching don't remember that very forgettable tweet.
I feel that's the kind of tweet that in the context of a game will do unearned numbers. And I say that as someone that gets tweets that do unearned numbers like that all the time by Captain Obvious BS.
Yeah, nothing wrong with it. Get your numbers up with some obvious clicks. Tweets. Are you disagree? Are you not terrified by Micah Parsons? Well, you better pound that heart then.
Speaking of unearned numbers, I'm going to go with 69% Alabaster. What is next?
Oh, man. Don't give us that attitude, Pablo, like you're tired of us.
I am tired.
Up next, we're moving on to a game of Who Done It? The game where we give you a quote and you tell us who done it. By the way, that's Steve Nash. Just
there we go. There we go. I was nervous for a second.
Does Steve Nash look like he got work done?
Oh.
You know who I think did, by the way? Again, because we're in a safe space where we won't get aggregated, I think The Rock had some work done.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys see that? Like the upper lip?
He's looking real pale.
Yeah, just like too taut. It's too taut. He's too
So there's a difference. There's a difference between having work done and having the obvious work done. I think nobody has a problem with people getting whatever work done they want.
Oh, yeah.
No kinko shaming.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah, it's fine.
Get it how you live.
But just sometimes when you don't pull it off right, it's like too dramatic. You gotta slow play that work. You can't just like suddenly show up. Like you gotta be careful with it. You gotta have the right surgeon. As you can see, I still look like I'm 24 because my surgeon is on point. My surgeon's name is God. He's born with this.
All right.
I got some beef with your surgeon because I've looked 40 since I was 26.
That's the best strategy though. Because when you're 40, you're gonna be like, that man hasn't aged at all.
I love my surgeon because, as you know, Asians don't crack, as they say.
It don't rhyme.
Okay, first quote. Hold on, y'all. Don't ask no questions.
The more
I'm
tired
to put
he
in
gets
order
of
us, McDonald's.
The worse I want to act. If you notice that, like, it's something yes. in me that when I hear Alabaster get annoyed with us, it just makes me want to detour
which,
even more.
I'm only annoyed with Pablo.
Which is funny because you're like, you both have kids. So Dominique, in theory, you have been in the role reversed in this.
Oh fight. Yeah. That's why I'm acting out.
Do we have a guest here? Because I know who it is.
Oh, I didn't even know what was happening. I was being a jerk instead.
Hold on, y'all. Don't ask no questions. I'm trying to put in an order at McDonald's. Yeah, no, this is great. Can we just watch the video? Because it's of course, Anthony Edwards, the god.
Yeah.
Hold on, y'all. Ask no questions. Yeah, I'm trying to put an order in. McDonald's. Yeah,
Thursday. What's on the menu tonight?
Chris, he said no questions.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Tell him to lock in, man.
Shut your mouth.
So how long till they fly that man that check? Like,
oh,
immediately
by now.
Like,
has
if
happened by
if I
taping right now.
If I'm at McDonald's, I don't care what my job is at any level. If I'm in the store, I'm running to a computer and photoshopping him dunking on somebody or not, or cutting together a video of him dunking on somebody with it ending with him ordering from McDonald's. I'm putting it up. That's our Super Bowl ad. That's the only ad we're showing from here on out.
I'm going with, yeah, you're replacing the rim with a sweet and sour sauce packet. Yeah, da-da-da-da-da. I'm dunking it. Yeah, all that.
Honestly, I think this is a misfire by him.
What?
There is
Gojo, I don't know if there's a take you've had that is more surprising than this one specifically.
No, I know where Gojo's going. I like it.
There's a clear target in all of this one, man. You got to be out here trying to get the Subway bag right now. You see them tossing it at everybody out here.
All the athletes.
They are trying to pay every – and you don't got to do – the whole premise of the ad is you are getting cut off from the time that you thought you were allotted. It is minimal work for maximum bag. Anthony Edwards, get your people on the phone with Subway. You can save that franchise.
I guess he's super young. That's part of it. But for me – no disrespect to McDonald's or anybody else, is like, McDonald's is not a plan ahead situation. If me or my children or anybody is eating McDonald's, it's because we drove past one and we was hungry.
No.
And
see,
it was there.
Strong so disagree. Like, strong if, disagree.
If I'm going to sit at my phone and order something, I mean, it's not going to be McDonald's. Like, that's not... And not even knocking fast food. If I'm going to go get fast food, it's not going to be McDonald's. It's just not
so,
the move.
No, I see, for me, I know that McDonald's, I said this to Liz the other day, McDonald's has 100% success rate with me. The problem is that I just don't allow myself to have it because I have elevated cholesterol. Shout out to Mike Golick Jr. Gang. And I know that if I eat too many Big Macs and dip that Big Mac in sweet and sour sauce, it will be bad for me. But my God, when that seal gets broken like once every 6 months, like I marvel at science. It's a scientific mission that they have accomplished. 100% success rate. It's great.
I mean, you're a matriculate down the field type of offense is what you're looking for. Is you're looking for 4 yards. And McDonald's is guaranteed to give you 4 yards.
Yes.
You never taking no shots. You're not taking those shots to the end zone. Because, like, I feel like McDonald's, while it may give you 4 yards, McDonald's never going to give you that 25-yarder. Certainly not going to give you a 60-yard TD. Like,
you
McDonald's
say matriculate.
Is...
You say matriculate. I say sort of like edging. Like, you just sort of like.
God,
what? Edge rushing.
Pablo.
What are guys, edge rushing.
Right. Oh I got God. It. Yes. They are Leonard Floyd.
Yes.
Something like
all right,
that.
We got one more who done it.
We heard voices that never show up on this show.
He
that
done
were
it?
So appalled.
Oh, he definitely done it.
Which one of us is it?
Yeah.
He done it. I'm comfortable with him done doing it.
Yeah.
Our last quote.
We have receipts for how many times he done it.
Okay. Oh, God. All right. Hey, man. 2011 draft. With the 10th pick, the Sacramento Kings. Don't select me. So people don't forget, that's all I got to say. And your choices are Kawhi, Klay Thompson, Jimmy Butler, or Jimmer Fredette.
Mm.
Ooh.
Wow. It'd be really great if it was Jimmer Fredette.
I would love Jimmer that.
Jimmer, Michael Jr. tapping his wrist.
I mean, it seems like a Jimmy something Jimmy Butler would say, but Jimmy Butler was a second round pick, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He made it past the 10th pick then.
Right. So, I mean, it has to be Clay or Jimmer, right?
The Hey Man kind of just like vibey, stoneristic sort of
gives you feeling a Jimmer. There.
I'm thinking Clay. Hey
I'll
Man.
I'll go Clay.
I'm going Jimmer just to be different.
All right.
Hey Man, 2011 NBA draft with the 10th pick. The Sacramento Kings don't select me, so people don't forget. That's all I got to say.
People don't forget. What movie is that from?
It's from
Superbad.
Superbad, yeah.
There you go. People don't forget. Mm. Yeah, that was such an obvious Clay-ism.
Which, does it seem like Clay, for lack of a better term, got higher since coming back from the injury? Like, his whole aesthetic seems a little more stonery.
Yep. He's just more at peace.
Wasn't he the 77th best player or something? Like, all of that is added to the new Clay. Right?
He should have been a top 75 guy, was not, according to the NBA's voting panel of corrupt judges. Correct. And yes, the Kings did trade down to the 10th pick and, you know, Jimmer. They took Jimmer, not Clay. Yeah, Warriors got Clay.
I could understand they wanted a shooter. Why would you get Clay Thompson when you could get Jimmer Fredette?
Yo, Jimmer Fredette played in like prisons in college and that was like part of his legend.
Really?
What?
Was he in prison?
I mean,
I guess technically he was in a prison.
Yeah.
Was it like a prison basketball program, or that was the only place he could get some good run? He was like, man, these streets around here.
Yeah, upstate New York. Yeah, I think it was that actually. Yeah,
he couldn't get good run. What? Hold on, Pablo. Was it like some?
He's from Glen Falls, New York, I believe.
No, who was this?
Wow. Yeah. I looked up an article.
Glens Falls.
Hallway ambushes, prison games helped create Jimmer Fredette frenzy coming to TCU. What the hell?
That's what I'm saying. You guys think I'm just clowning around. I'm throwing journalism at you.
You're clowning around. That's why I was asking for more clarification. Like, I want to know why Jimmer Fredette would do that. And
can you imagine Jimmer playing in a pickup game just full of Mike Golic Juniors? Just super tatted.
I mean, he probably looks great walking out there with a bunch of stiff-shouldered dudes like me.
I want to know why they're locking up all their good basketball players. I'm confused at why there are no good basketball players on the street for Jimmer to play against.
Are you really confused?
No, I'm not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man. So
Gojo out of the frame.
Let's celebrate Pablo because this is clearly his last show. So, Pablo, thank you for all you've done to launch this great vehicle.
I died as I
lived. Here for a good time, not a long time.
Prioritizing double entendres over my own job security and my family's well-being.
That's all right. Liz got a good job. You'll be all right.
Nah, she stopped working when Violet was born, so.
That's all right. Your dad's a doctor. You'll be all right.
Yeah, but he worked for the VA and didn't have a private practice, so that's not great.
All right, RIP to Pablo. It's been good knowing you, buddy. I'll miss you.
You got a house that I have.
Slow down. Gotta
go.